Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
Made it more intimate, and because of that, we began to open up more and more of each other. We became real with each other. And at that moment, I'd found out recently that I was doing this course. Not being from Coventry, I was a bit worried whether I'd made the right decision. But those moments that we spent together, the realness that we had and the sense of family that this church had amongst its leaders, really assured me that I had made the right decision to come here. And in these moments, we shared what happened during the day and the evening ones. That was really important, as Derek talks about later. There's one day in particular that was quite hard. I'm not usually moved by many things. Being a guy, I don't really get too emotional. But this one day, we went to this place, which Derek would talk about, and it was, even for me, it was quite powerful and quite moving and deeply unsettling, what we saw and experienced. And if it wasn't for these moments in the evening, I don't know how I would have got through that. I'm sure other people are the same. If it wasn't for that space to talk about what we had experienced, it would have been quite unsavory situation. But the morning ones were just as important because they equipped us for the day ahead. When we gave the day to the Lord, we meant it. And we could see God moving through that day because of what we said in the morning. And although the morning ones weren't, I don't think we sung in the morning ones. It was more sharing of some scripture or a devotional. Again, it was still just as powerful as the evening ones where we sang. So I really want to encourage you that you don't have to be on a mission trip to put time aside for God in the morning and evening. You could do that at home. You could do it by yourself. You can get a small group together. But I really want to encourage you to stick to that time that you make for God, even if it seems really hard. Because God will move in those times.
Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth. The sound of heaven touching earth.
So it's my turn just to share with you a little bit about what I learnt out in Portugal. A bit of background. To be honest, right up until the week before I went, perhaps even the day before I went, I still wasn't entirely sure why I was going or what we'd be doing. I was like, this is just a little bit random. But I knew that God wanted me there for some reason, which is why I went. And being me, I'd spent a lot of time before we went kind of thinking and wondering about what we'd be doing out there, because surely that's what it was all about. It was all going to be about what we did. And then quite quickly when I got there, I was like, oh, well, we're not going to be as busy as I thought we were. We weren't doing as much stuff as I thought we would be doing. And I found that a little bit odd, and you kind of feel a little bit guilty. Well, we're here on mission. We're meant to be doing stuff. And that was a little bit odd to start with. But God really used that downtime that we had. Tom's already talked about like the team times in the morning, the evening, but actually there was just time as well during the day. There was just time often just to be on our own, just to go for a walk. The place was absolutely beautiful. You've seen some of the photos. It was such a beautiful place, and there was so much space. You could just like look over this one bit of hills and just see for miles, and just that space and that time was so valuable. And for me, having that space and that time, it just really challenged me. Not for the first time, I'll admit. It's something I probably need to learn about a million times over the course of my lifetime. But just to think about how much is my identity still caught up in what I do instead of who I am. And while the time we were there, God really reminded me that I am his child. He is my heavenly father, and that is enough. and that truth is enough. And you might think, well, that's not exactly rocket science. Like, it's a shame to have to go to Portugal just to find that out. I've been a Christian for long enough. Like, that's surely something you learn, like, day one. But actually, I needed reminding of it. And I don't think I'm the only one that does, because I think we all slip back into feeling that we have to prove ourselves, we have to do stuff, instead of actually sometimes just letting God love us. One evening during our team time, one of the songs we sang was Hosanna, that we sang earlier. I knew it was a bad plan writing it on little bits of paper. And that line that says, everything I am for your kingdom's cause, like, really jumped out at me. And you know sometimes when it's a song you know really well and you've sung it a million and one times and then suddenly you sing it and you're like, whoa, has that line, like, actually always been there? And the word everything really challenged me. And I was like, what does that actually mean, to give everything I am? But also the fact that it says everything I am, not everything I do. And there is doing to be done. Like, obviously there's doing to be done. I mean, Ephesians 2:10 says, we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God's prepared for us to do. So clearly there is doing to be done. But I think what God reminded me is that actually who we are has to come before what we do, and the being has to come before the doing. And actually, once we realise that, and once we've been reminded of that, and we just let God love us, then actually he reminds us that we can just give him everything. And it was really valuable to have time out there just to give God everything and just to remember that he is big enough for all our worries, all our desires, all our fears, all our everything. And actually, he is big enough, and nothing, nothing is outside of that love. And in fact, when we were singing this morning, that who you say I am, can you put the words up? This is the bit that isn't planned, because this is the bit that just came to me this morning. And we sang that when it says, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. There's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. And one evening we sang that. So Robbie, who isn't here this morning, he's from Portsmouth, is a little bit bonkers. In fact, he's really quite bonkers. So we went out of the place where we were staying, the little like apartment thing, and we stood like overlooking this massive hill outside, and we sang it, and he was like, come on, sing it again, sing it louder, like declare it over these hills. And when we're there, it just, that truth really sinks in. Like, I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. And then when we're singing it this morning, I was like, well, does it feel as true now? It doesn't always feel as true when we come back and we're back to life and everything that's going on. But actually, it is just as true, because it doesn't matter how we feel. That is fact. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am is fact. And that doesn't depend on our feelings, which is amazing, because if it did depend on our feelings, then some of us would be up and down like yo-yos. But actually, it doesn't depend on our feelings, because we can say confidently, I'm a child of God, yes I am. Whether we're in Portugal or Coventry or America or anywhere in the world that we come from, if we're a child of God, then we are absolutely secure in that. And that is way more important than anything else.
Hey, in the mornings we used to do devotionals, and from my point of view, I looked at myself as the protector of the group. As I said to Lydia one day, we're all one body, but we're all different parts of the body. And I called myself the toenail, and she looked at me and says, why are you the toenail? And I says, well, if someone tread on your foot, I'd be there to protect you. So, my morning worship was to protect the group, and with spiritual warfare going on and everything, I'd start the morning off with, as I arise today, may the strength of God pilot me, the power of God uphold me, the wisdom of God guide me, may the eye of God look before me, the ear of God hear me, the word of God speak for me. May the hand of God protect me, the way of God lie before me, The shield of God defend me, the host of God save me. May Christ shield me today, Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me. Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me. Christ on my right, Christ on my left. Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit. Christ when I stand. Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me. Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me. Christ in the eye of everyone who sees me. Christ in the ear of everyone who hears me. And then I would go on to protection with Ephesians. So I would take the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the girdle of truth, the shoes of the gospel of peace, shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit. Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me. Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me. Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger. Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. God be in my head and in my understanding. God be in my eyes and in my looking. God be in my mouth and in my speaking. God be in my heart and in my thinking. God be at my end and at my departing. In the name of Jesus Christ, I disclaim, renounce, and totally reject all the depression, heaviness, and gloom which now burdens me. I am a child of light, not of darkness. I will walk in the light as he is in the light, while the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin. May I live today in the communion of saints. I take as my companions the angels, archangels, and all the company of heaven. May they surround me on every side to be my keepers and guardians. And I claim the promised indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the Father's gift to all who ask him. May I be his temple today, that I may live to the praise of God the Father and after the pattern of Jesus Christ my Lord. Amen. May the strength of God empower me, the wisdom of God direct me, the Spirit of God inspire me, the love of God enfold me, the grace of God comfort me, the joy of God fill me, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon me today and always. Amen.
Matt and his director, Matt, have already said to us that they've already thanked us for going out there to Portugal to share with them and to help them. And I have to say that we need to return that compliment and say thank you for having us. It was an experience, I think, that was very profound for a number of us, as people have testified already. The one thing that Tom was alluding to was a visit that we paid to a place called Fatima. Now, I'd heard of Fatima before we went to Portugal, and it's one of the sort of three most important pilgrimage sites for the Roman Catholic Church. And I was in the car with Ethel. Matt dropped us off while he tried to find a parking space. And Ethel and I walked through to this complex. And as we did so, we walked past shop after shop after shop that were absolutely stuffed with images of, you know, statues of Mary and saints and the like. And it was deeply unsettling. And then our first sight of the actual complex itself, there's a huge cross that stands about 100 feet high, something like that, with Jesus, an image of Jesus on it. And that's at the edge of a square, which, when you look at it, could easily cater for about 500,000 people standing there. And at the far end of that square, elevated up about 30 steps, is a church. And in that church are buried the bodies of three shepherd girls who, about 100 years ago, had a vision of Mary. And it was later claimed that about 70,000 people had a vision. And we saw, I saw people going up and kissing the feet of a statue of Pope John Paul II. We saw people are on their knees, with pads on their knees, and shuffling along holding candles. And they were bound up with religious observance. They thought that these things would actually bring them closer to God. And I felt two emotions at that point. One, I felt so sorry, real sorrow for people that were bound up in that way, that was their experience of God. And the second thing, and I have to say, if it offends anybody, I'm sorry, but I felt anger at the institution that was leading people into bondage. They've done it over centuries, leading them to believe that following rites and rituals will get them closer to God. And that got me thinking a lot about belief systems. And you know, religious observance isn't a new phenomenon. It's not confined to the Roman Catholic Church. Most religions follow, they operate around rules and customs and traditions and practices, and they insist that their followers adhere to those. We see it in other faiths. We see it in the sects. But we also see it in the Christian church, sadly, parts of the Christian church. And there are some societies, whole societies, that are wedded to rule-based religions, and they operate on an honor and shame basis. And we've seen things in the press about where young women have been thrown out of their families or worse because they've dared to stand up against the rules of that religion. But I think we need to be careful that we don't feel superior, because we can fall into that trap as well. And how many times have we heard things like, well, we've always done it that way. That's not the way we do things around here. And we've just got to be so careful about it. Jesus was a threat to the Jewish establishment. And in part, that was because he challenged their adherence to the law rather than looking to God. John 8:36 declares that if the Son sets you free from sin, you will be free indeed. We've sung about it this morning, haven't we? And the notion of bondage or slavery is used in the Bible in a couple of senses. One is being under the ownership of somebody else, including being a slave to sin. Romans 8, I think it is, talks about that. And it's a relational thing. And we also have instances of owners of slaves, and it's Philemon, isn't it, where Philemon is urged not to to treat Onesiphorus as a brother rather than a slave. And the other notion of it is where people are bound to practices, particularly the Mosaic law. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 3 about the new covenant established by Christ's death. And verse 17 there says, "The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Now, we believe that as believers, the Spirit of God indwells us, don't we? And so we are free. We're free from sin, from the curse of sin. And the whole of the book of Galatians is essentially about defending the gospel of free grace in the face of some converts reverting back to Judaism. Paul says in the first chapter, "I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of God, of Christ." And Paul has to sort of take, all through the letter of Galatians, he's taking the church there through the folly of following those Jewish practices. They've been freed from the requirements of the law by the death of Christ. And Paul even has to tackle Peter for hypocrisy, because Peter is Paul said to Peter in front of everybody, "You're a Jew, yet you live as a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs?" So the Apostle Paul was very keen that that freedom in Christ was something that we needed to live by. He sums it up in chapter 5 of Galatians, verse 1. "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." And he goes on in the rest of that chapter, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge your flesh, that is, to continue in sin. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you do not do whatever you want." You're not to do whatever you want. "But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under law." And then he goes on to talk about the acts of the flesh. But he says then that the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, against such things there is no law. "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other." And then the beginning of chapter 6. "If someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently." So there are things we can learn from Galatians, and we've got this freedom in Christ, but we need to, there are things that we need to remember. And the verse that Rachel quoted earlier on in the service, at the outset of the service, applies here. If we apply freedom to our worship, we need to remember who God is. God's an omnipotent, holy, righteous, eternal creator God. We're not to take him lightly. We need to serve him in reverence and awe, although we're to worship him, because he's loving and merciful and gracious towards us. But also, I think with freedom comes responsibility. And I think we've got responsibilities towards each other. And again, I think that's brought out in Galatians. Galatians 6:2, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." And I think we saw something of that in our team times in Portugal, as I think Tom has alluded to. Romans 12:15 also says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, and mourn with those who mourn." And there were instances in those team times we were able to share joy with Keith and Rachel when the news came through that Becky and Morris were being approved for adoption of Logan. And that was a special moment, wasn't it? We shared concern with Ethel as she received news of her mother's illness out in Zimbabwe. Ethel was in Portugal and Mum was in Zimbabwe. Not much she could do about it, but we were able to share and we were able to weep with her and to support her. And there were some intimate details that were shared by one or two members of the group that we were able to really just pray through and support the people concerned. And I think for me, one of the things that, one of the significant things that came out of the trip, we went out there looking to do things. And we ended up, I think, receiving far more than we gave, which was a strange feeling. It brought us as a group closer together. And I think it enabled us to exercise pastoral care for each other. And that is something that I think we need to develop within the fellowship here. We need to develop those close bonds. We need to remember that we do need to fulfill the law of Christ through carrying each other's burdens. We need to focus on building each other up, love and care for each other, rather than seeking to try and find favor with God by what we do and when we do it. Thank you.
Amazing times. It was a really special time. We're going to go into a time of worship as we come to an end. It was a really powerful time. I never got to share part of my testimony. Do a brief little one. It's going to be 2 minutes, I promise, or even a minute. It's just to encourage you guys. This is totally planned, not planned. Basically, when we were doing worship, at this point, everyone is on the floor. Crying, happy, joyful. And there's me, last few days, during a trip, I was quite angry. I was angry because I felt slightly different. I was speaking to Todd a lot about it. I worked with Todd quite a lot. I was quite angry because I was like, God, you know when you're coming to church, just to encourage you guys, by the way, when you go to church, you're kind of wanting to do what everyone else is doing. You're wanting to do the things that everyone else in church does. You want to, you know, do the right thing with God. And actually, I was angry with myself because I wasn't feeling that way. I was like, God, just let me feel this way. It'd be so much easier to go along with everyone else is doing, be the best thing. And I was really beating myself up inside. I was getting very angry with myself. And actually, what happened was Robbie was everyone else was a big blur. And as you know, I work for the force, and Robbie did this prophecy. And he was like, I don't know who this is for, but basically someone in here has hidden themselves away because they're very angry with themselves. They're very annoyed. They're very hurt. They're very with themselves because they feel like they're disappointing God. They feel like they're not doing what they should be doing. And they've put themselves in this prison cell. Quinky dink. Put themselves in this prison cell, and they have shut themselves away because they feel like if they come out of their comfort zone, and they feel like they'll cause more damage than good. And they feel like whatever they will say won't be very good for God. And Robbie said, actually, it's just going to be you and Jesus, whoever this person is, and he's going to be handcuffed to you. And he's going to be handcuffed to you, and he's going to walk through these villages with you for the people that not normally every church member wants to go to. These villages and tribes around the world that are really, really hurting, and that a lot of people don't necessarily agree with or like in the sense of what they do, but you're going to be that person with Jesus, only Jesus, funny enough, handcuffed to them. And I was flipping crying, man. I was like, no, like, because I was like, I'll stay in the cell. But he was like, no, Jesus is going to be handcuffed to you, and it's just going to be you and Jesus handcuffed to each other the whole time through those people that don't necessarily agree with the church. And I agree with the church. I love the church, don't get me wrong. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't. But I thought I'd encourage you, if you feel that way, if you feel that kind of thing, that actually God does use absolutely everybody, no matter what situation you're in, no matter what you believe, as long as you believe in Jesus died for you and paid for your sins on that cross, that is the most important thing you can learn and know, because that is the most beautiful thing about Jesus, and that's why he came to this earth. So if you'd like to stand, we're going to sing the stand if you are able.
Thank you all for listening to all our different testimonies, all the different stories. What a powerful name is, the name of Jesus. Some of us are that stubborn, it took God to take us to Portugal to realize that. But what a wonderful, wonderful name in Jesus. I just want to thank our worship team today, Rachel and Luke and these guys. Rachel and Luke in Portugal were absolutely awesome. The talent that these guys have and the rest of these guys on the stage just astounds me. And they led us to such a heart of worship, as Tom said, such a stripped back, open, just a real, real, real close time with God that I don't think many of us have probably ever experienced before. And just as we wrap this up and bring this to a close, I want to invite Matt back up here. We want to pray for our brother Matt. Matt and Lindsay and Matt, the other Matt, Matt Melvin, a few of them that we worked really closely with over there, who supported us, they ferried us around, they drove us around in their own cars. We had some quick intakes of breath with some of their driving sometimes, but these guys were an immense blessing to us. And I just want to close this morning just by praying, and praying for Matt especially. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you, Lord Jesus, that your name is powerful, Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. I thank you, Jesus, that for those of us who were able to experience just that time out in Portugal, I just want to thank you for Matt, Lord. I want to thank you for his heart, his love for you, Lord, his heart to serve you. Father God, I pray you would just bless him mightily. Holy Spirit, I pray you would just work through him with the team there in Portugal. You would work through him, Holy Spirit. You would pour out from him with the communities and the schools that they work in, Lord Jesus. Father God, we thank you and praise you for your awesome love to us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can stand here with arms lifted high in complete abandon to you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for that you showed us that in Portugal. You showed us that that space and that time, as Tom was talking about, that we put aside for you. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we would be willing to do that each and every day for you, and have such a desire and a longing to be that close to you, Jesus. Father, bless our brother Matt and the team over there in Portugal as they continue to strive to reach that area for you. I pray you would give them strength. You would give them wisdom, Lord. You would give power to their arm and give them beautiful feet carrying your gospel to that amazing, amazing country, Lord Jesus. We love you. We thank you, Jesus. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. If you've come prepared, we are having a church family stroke picnic afternoon in the main hall. And you're welcome to join us. We're having some games. We're hanging out together. If you haven't come prepared, McDonald's is only a short drive away. You may make all of us jealous if you do that, but you're welcome to join us this afternoon until we get bored of each other's company.
You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.